Praise the Lord. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John, chapter 19, verses 25 to 27. Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. This is the gospel of the Lord. Dear friends, reflecting on the mystery of the cross, today we come to the Blessed Mother. The Blessed Mother standing at the foot of the cross. All the four evangelists speak about the people standing at the foot of the cross, especially the women disciples. But only John explicitly mentions that the Blessed Mother was there. Of course, the other evangelists also seem to presume that the Blessed Mother was there, but only John speaks explicitly, tells us that she was there. And she is mentioned the first, the mother of Jesus. The mother of Jesus stood at the foot of the cross. This is where we see the Blessed Mother for the last time in the Gospel of John, at the foot of the cross. The traditional way of the cross assigns a particular station, station 4, for the encounter of Mary with Jesus carrying the cross. Mary, the Blessed Mother, on the way of the cross. But we know the way of the cross for Mary, the mother of Jesus, started not just when Jesus started carrying the cross as a condemned criminal going to the place of execution. Way before, it was started for her. The way of the cross for Mary started when she said, "Fiat, let it be done according to your word. Let it be done to me according to your word." When Mary surrendered herself to the message conveyed through an angel, a message or the invitation or the vocation to become the mother of the Son of God, to conceive the word of God and to give birth to the Son of God, that very moment started her way of the cross, surrendering her will to the will of the Father. And then the whole life, it would seem, was a continuous carrying the cross in the heart, the society, and always marching towards this moment of the execution. We know being invited or called to become the mother of the divine Savior, the mother of the Son of God, is the greatest privilege a person can expect or can have. But at the same time, there is also a vocation to carry the heaviest cross, we know. According to the tradition, the setup of the Jews in the time of Jesus, and even today in many cultures, a young woman or a young maid to become pregnant before being married was a great, not only shame, a crime. The Jews had their rules about it. When a woman, when a girl who was betrothed to a man, a bridegroom, and before they are married, if that woman becomes pregnant in the house of her parents, then she could be put on trial. And if the bridegroom renounces or denies his involvement, and if it is proved that she is pregnant, then she can be put to death, stoned to death. That is the punishment the society had meted out for marital infidelity. So here, when Mary, the young maid of Nazareth, is addressed by the angel that she is to become the mother of the divine word, she knows what would happen to her, or how the society would look at her, what the people would make out of her. She was betrothed to a carpenter called Joseph. And Matthew tells us that before they came to live together, she was found with a child from the Holy Spirit, that is the evangelist tells us. But nobody would believe her. There was no way to prove that this child was born out of a special intervention of God. Only Mary and God would know that. And if God reveals that to someone. So this is the first risk she is asked to take. There starts the way of the cross. She could say either yes or no. She said yes. Fiat. Let your word become a reality to me. Let it be done to me according to your word. The word of the messenger is the word of God. So Mary is surrendering right from the beginning to God's will. And there the redemption starts. The human will that rebelled against God in paradise, trying to become like God, eating the forbidden fruit, and disobeying God, the story, the history of sin was started. And here that history of rebellion and sin is being rewritten through a total surrender of a virgin to the will of God. She was surrendering herself to God's will and into God's hands. Let it be done to me according to your word. You are the master, I am the servant. And my life is in your hands. Let the master do to me whatever he wants. I surrender myself. So that is how we see Mary for the first time in the gospel. And there it starts. And we know the problems she would have faced. Luke tells us that immediately after this annunciation, she went far away, about 125 kilometers south of Nazareth. To the south, to Judea, to a village called Ein Kerim, about 7 kilometers southwest of Jerusalem. That's where her cousin Elizabeth was living. Elizabeth also had gone through a similar experience. A barren woman in her old age has conceived a son through the miraculous intervention of God. And this young girl of Nazareth is going to visit her cousin to serve, it is said, but more for advice, more for protection, more for understanding. We don't know exactly what. But however, there she is greeted. She is greeted by the cousin, and there she experiences God's loving kindness and powerful intervention in her life. When she comes back, the word spreads that Mary is with child. She had been out for 3 months and now she comes pregnant back. And this would have been a great tragedy for anybody else. And Joseph himself, the bridegroom who had been betrothed to her, had his own difficulties to understand. We can presume that Mary talked with him. But Joseph was reluctant to take her as his wife. He did not know what to do. Something new, something totally unexpected and unheard of thing had happened to his bride. But then God intervened. God intervened and revealed to Joseph that what is conceived in her is by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that is going to be the fulfillment of all the prophecies, that God with us, Emmanuel, is going to be born out of this virgin. Only through God's special intervention could anybody accept or understand the mystery of conception and virgin birth. So from then on, Mary was a suspect. And later on, it would seem that this somehow remained as a brand on her. When Jesus appeared in Nazareth, the synagogue of Nazareth, people talk about him as Mary's son. Maybe it was how he was known, Mary's son. Normally, people are addressed by his father's name, son of Joseph. Of course, some passages say the son of Joseph, is he not the carpenter, the son of the carpenter, the son of Joseph? But there is also a title given to him, son of Mary. That could be a kind of nuance among the people that he was something special, born out of wedlock. And Mary had to carry this stigma for all his life, all her life, with the son. And then, when it is time for the child to be born, is nowhere to give birth to that divine child. She had been thrown out of her house by the command of Caesar Octavian, Augustus Caesar. And Joseph and Mary had to travel a long way, again over 120 kilometers to Bethlehem, the hometown of Joseph, for the census. And when they come there, it is time for her to give birth to her child, and they have no place in the inn. Mary, who has conceived the Son of the Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, now to give birth to that child, that divine child, they have no place. They have no place in the inn. And finally, they have to go out of the town and take refuge in a cave where cattle is being kept. And there she gives birth to the child and lays him in a manger. Because, with a tint of sadness and sorrow, Luke adds, because there was no place for him in the inn. The child who is to redeem the whole world, who is to become a home for everybody, has now nowhere to be born. And when he is brought to the temple, when he is 40 days and he is brought to the temple, only very few people recognize, only an old man called Simeon, recognize the child as the light of the nations, as the fulfillment of all the promises. But then what he tells her is so tragic and surprising. I'll read it from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 34 to 36. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your soul too." A sword will pierce your own soul too. That's a prophecy. A sword that would pierce her heart. It has already pierced, and that sword will remain stuck in her heart all her life. After this prophecy, they had to flee. That's Gospel of Matthew. They had to flee because the ruler has got word about the birth of a wonder child, a child who is going to be the king of the Jews. And Herod, so-called the Great, is scared that his throne would be endangered and wants to kill the child. Again, warned in a dream, Joseph and Mary have to flee for the life of the child. Another way of the cross. Now to live like a refugee, always under the threat for this child. The child is being threatened with death. And we know the story of the extermination of innocent children in Bethlehem and around, because of the jealousy and fear of a coward called the king, who thought his throne was endangered by a child. So this is the way of the cross Mary had to go through. It doesn't end there. And when they come back to Nazareth after some time, and they make a journey to Jerusalem as a usual pilgrimage, and when Jesus was 12 years old, he becomes a man. According to the Jewish calculation, every male child that becomes 12 years old, he's called Bar Mitzvah, the child of the law. And he has also the obligation to make the pilgrimage, the annual pilgrimage. They go for the Passover celebration and the annual pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And we know the story. When the whole service in the temple was over, the parents return and the child, the boy, remains in the temple. And only after one day's journey, they realize that boy is not with them. Was it a carelessness from the part of the parents? I don't think so. There is all the possibility that they both thought the boy was with the other. For example, there is a particular place in the Temple of Jerusalem where the women and children are allowed to enter. That's called the Court of Women. Beyond which, after 15 steps above, this place is called the Court of the Men, Court of Israel. So Jesus, till the age of 12, was supposed to stay only with his mother. And after the age of 12, he could go up with the father. So maybe this is a kind of misunderstanding. Mary thought that Jesus was Joseph, and Joseph thought that Jesus was with Mary. But anyhow, when they realized that Jesus was not with them, what a pain, what a sorrow. Where is the boy? In a crowd, in a crowded city where hundreds of thousands, they say up to 2.5 million people come to Jerusalem during the Passover celebrations, in such a huge crowd. And when there is also the trouble of the zealots making revolution and the army in the town. So what happened to the child? And they went back, searching for 3 days and three nights. And finally, they find the boy in the temple, and the mother asks, Luke chapter 2, verse 48 and 49. Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety. Why have you done this to us? The anxiety is much more grief and pain and sorrow and sense of guilt maybe. The boy, the child who had been entrusted to the parents is now lost. Are they responsible for this? Where are they going to search for this boy? All this pain for 3 days. And this is only for a symbol, a foreshadowing of what was to come yet. The 3 days or the third day, till the third day, they would be in tears and sorrow, searching for the Lord who was killed on that Friday. So what is happening here is only a foreshadowing of what is to come yet. So the anxiety and the sorrow Mary felt in these 3 days is only an anticipation of the great sorrow and pain that she would feel at the cross. And the answer of Jesus, he said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" Is she rebuking them? Is he rebuking them? Or is he explaining something? Why were you searching? Of course, they had to search. But here, there is a hint that Jesus is distancing themselves. My Father's home. Of course, Mary knew that God is his Father. But at the same time, the expression, "Did you not know that I should be in my Father's affairs?" So his Father's affair, what is going to be? We do not know yet. But Simeon had already pointed out, this boy is going to be a sign of contradiction, a sign that will be contradicted, rejected, and he is going to cause the fall of many and rise. And a sword is going to pierce your heart too, and the sword is piercing again and again. After this, Mary goes back. The boy Jesus goes back with the parents and stays there in Nazareth. People ask, what did Jesus do after this 12 years old? Many concoct stories saying that he went and made a big trip all over Middle East and came to India and went over to Tibet and studied yoga, philosophy and all this. And only after this, at the age of 30, he came back. So all just invented stories with no basis in history. The Gospels tell us that after this, he went with them and stayed in Nazareth, obedient to his parents, and working, earning his bread by working as a carpenter. He was a carpenter. Jesus was known as the carpenter from Nazareth. That is all what he did. No miracle, absolutely no miracle is reported about Jesus in his infancy, youth, or anything. So Mary could have been asking, what about this boy? What about all these promises that God has made? Is this the Son of God that I am serving? Maybe she would have her questions. But the questions Mary did not ask. She believed. And when finally the time came for him to enter the scene in Nazareth, Luke reports the first appearance of Jesus in public in his own hometown. And we know how it ended. He was taken by force. He was pushed out of the town, and they were going to push him down the cliff and stone him to death. The first public appearance of Jesus ended up in a controversy, conflict, and total rejection, and an attempted murder. The cross. Mary is on the way of the cross. Another report of John in chapter 2, the incident episode in Cana. Mary was there, the mother of Jesus was there. And when Mary finds out that they have no more wine, she goes and tells her son with the hope that he would do something. And then what does he tell her? In John chapter 2, verse 4. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." Woman, what to me and to you? That is the original word. What to you and to me, woman? My time has not yet come. A very mysterious saying. Why, woman? Is he again distancing himself from his mother? Not calling her mother? And what is the hour? The hour we know from the Gospel of John, this is the hour of redemption, the hour of exaltation, or the hour of crucifixion. Jesus' hour is the hour of Jesus' death. And it is through that death on the cross that he is going to redeem the world. So the hour of redemption has not yet come. And Mary is addressed as the woman. And Mary is somehow taken into a higher level, relating it to Genesis 3:15. "I'll put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed, and he will crush your head." It's the prophecy. So the woman, Jesus addresses Mary, the woman, somehow pointing back to this prophecy. Mary is now taken as the woman who gives birth to the child who is to crush the head of evil. But at the same time, indication of the hour. The hour is the hour of glorification, but glorification through death. Exaltation on the cross. There also, Mary doesn't argue. He just tells, do what he tells you. Do what he tells you. That is the mother. Mother surrenders again. She had said her fiat at the beginning, and again she would say, let your will be done. Let his word be followed. Do what he tells you. Because she has accepted God's plan entirely for her. Later on, some of the cousins of Jesus took her by force, so to say, go to Capernaum, because it was heard, it was said, there was a rumor in Mark 3:20, we hear that. He had gone out of his mind. That's what Mary was told. And they came with the mother, and it was reported to her, to Jesus, that your mother and your brothers are waiting for you. Then Jesus asked, who is my mother? Who is my brother? What should the mother think about of a son who asked this question? Who is my mother? Has he forgotten who his mother is? Or is he really mad, as the people thought? Who is my mother? And then Jesus goes on to explain who the mother is. My mother is the one who does the will of my father. So Mary is not here rejected or renounced. Mary is put on a higher pedestal, not only physical or relation between the mother and the son, but Mary, the mother of Jesus, is the mother because she has done the will of the Father. So that is what Mary is, doing the will of the Father. And there finally she comes at the cross. Nowhere else we find the mother. Mary doesn't come to accept glory. She is not there when Jesus enters the temple or enters Jerusalem among the shouts of Hosanna. She is nowhere to be found in the time of miracle. No, she is there at the cross. She is there at the foot of the cross when everybody fled. She stands there as the mother of a contempt criminal. Mary stands there as the victim, as the mother of this criminal who is hanging on the cross. And there she stands. John tells us she stood. And it's not said she was crying or weeping or making any scene. It is said she stood at the foot of the cross. As the priest stands at the foot of the altar, there she stood and offering up her son. She is the only person except Jesus who could with full in the full meaning of the word utter the words, "This is my body and this is my blood." The one who is hanging on the cross, he did not have a human father. All that he is taken from the body of the mother. "This is my body, this is my blood," she could say in full sense. "This is hanging on the cross. This is the Redeemer. This is the victim." So Mary stood at the foot of the cross. And there Simon's prophecy is fulfilled. A sword piercing her heart. There she stood together with her son. When all the disciples fled, when everybody was condemning and ridiculing, challenging Jesus to come down and blaspheming him, Mary stood as the mother of the contempt criminal. And there she hears the word of the son. "Woman, behold your son." There was another disciple, the disciple whom Jesus loved, John tells us. The disciple whom Jesus loved, John doesn't say it is John was there. It could be anybody. The disciple whom Jesus loves is the symbol of all the disciples. And when Jesus tells her, "Woman, behold your son," Jesus is founding a new family with Mary the mother and the entire church as the children. And the child, the son, is given to her, "Behold your son, behold your mother, behold your son." So the last act of Jesus on this earth was that of instituting this family with Mary as the mother and the entire church as the child, "Your son." There, her mission is fulfilled. But it doesn't finish there. And it is said, he took her to himself. So the disciple accepted her as his own mother. And this is what Jesus wants. Everybody to take Mary, the mother of Jesus, as the mother of the church, as mother of the individual. It's not denying Jesus. It is not renouncing God. It's not adoring Mary. It's not Mariolatry. It is accepting what Jesus has given us. His mother, he has given us as mother. Ever since, Mary is the mother of every believer. She is the one who gave birth to the Messiah, the one who redeemed the world through his death. And by this act of giving, the mother, she becomes the mother of everybody. The church fathers would say, Mary gave birth to Jesus in Bethlehem without pain. But on the cross, she gave birth to the entire church. In Bethlehem, the head of the body was born. Here, the whole body is being born. In Bethlehem, it was painless, and here it is utter grief, pain, sorrowful birth. So she became the mother of the church, and we become her sons and daughters at the foot of the cross. Let us thank God for giving us such a mother and honor her and take her as our model, as our mediatrix, as our mother and our protector, and learn from her to say, "Let your word be done to me, let it be done to me according to your word." And for us, let us pray to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving this blessed creature of yours, Mary, as the mother of Jesus and the mother of the church and the mother of each one of us. Blessed Mother, we thank you for accepting us, our mother, and us, your children. Enable us to live as you lived, accepting God's will and offering ourselves at the cross. Enable us to stand at the foot of the cross of Jesus and accept God's love and God's word as you did. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.